and welcome to the Muddy Puddle Teacher Podcast. I'm Sarah Seaman, and today I'm joined with the wonderful Jess Gosling. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me on.
No, not a problem. So I've invited you on because you've got a very interesting background. I think the Muddy Puddle teachers would love to hear your journey. So you're a teacher, that's right. And how long have you been a teacher for, Jess?
Just around 10 years now, slightly over.
Lovely. Well, I'm beating you with 12 at the moment, so I'm ahead of that one at the minute. And tell us your background. So where did you start? Was it originally in the UK?
No. So I started originally in Japan as an assistant language teacher, which basically meant you're going to go up and teach the class. It wasn't assistant at all, but that was an EAL role. So I did that for 2 years just to check out if I wanted to be a teacher, because I just needed to have a degree to do that. So then I decided to go back and train, and I trained at Leeds, went in a few schools there. And then after that, I was down in the southeast in Hatfield, working there and also on some supply work. I worked in a lovely, lovely, lovely nursery stroke reception unit that had about 13 children. And I think that's when really I became really, really interested in early years. There was a lot of outdoor work there as well. And then I decided to go abroad, and we went first to Egypt, which was in a reception unit again, and then to Vietnam. And that was with year one. And then now I'm in Taipei with reception again.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So what is it about working for international schools that you really enjoy?
I really like working with a variety of different children. It's quite interesting and quite exciting. I quite like working with EAL children as well. And just the growth that they experience is huge, from when they come in and they're petrified and they don't have any English to when they leave. And for me, really, just for them to be really self-confident and happy is how I'd like them to leave my class. Having a bit of English is also good as well. I love the environment internationally as well, just being able to achieve a work-life balance, I'm sorry to say. There's a lot greater influence on teaching, more than paperwork and meetings and all the other things that I had to do in the UK. So I feel I've got a lot more time to think about how to resource the class. And like I said, I found you through the outdoor learning as well. That's something that's developing for me quite a lot now. Where I felt really in the UK, it was really sort of pale to the mill, on a treadmill, just trying to get everything done that needed to be done. So that was a big consideration for me coming abroad, really.
Yeah, that's a really important point that you made. It's sort of like, I think as a teacher, you just, all you want to do is teach. You know, that's what you're there for. That's what you love to do. And constantly we're doing jobs that really aren't part of our role anymore. And it's that resourcing, isn't it? It's trying to make your lessons as fun and as interesting, and so that the children are so engaged with you that we just don't have time for. So it's fascinating that you feel you get that when you're working at your international schools.
I mean, the PPA is so minimal, isn't it, in the UK? Like, I think it was something like 2.5 hours a week, and that's just not sustainable, you know, like, to do all the things you want to do with them.
I think as well, like, you know, you never feel like you're doing the job as well as you could, and I think that can be quite harmful on our mental health, really, that we don't really feel we're ever doing a job well. That's really interesting, Jess. So you are trained as a Muddy Puddle teacher as well. Woohoo!
Yes.
So how did you find the training?
I liked it because I could do it at my own pace. That's quite important to me. So I just sort of plugged away at it as I could. It was quite nice because there was a lot of crossover for when I actually did activities. I could just put them in to the coursework that you wanted me to send to you. So I didn't feel it was a lot of extra work, which sometimes when you take on CBD, it can be, and you end up really, really regretting it. So I felt it was really, really attainable. I enjoyed learning lots of practical ideas because I think that's what I lacked. I kind of saw the need for it, but I didn't really know how to go about it. Previously,
that comes into that finding time, isn't it? You know, finding time to sort of think of these ideas, and without me leaving teaching, really, and being able to apply myself to this, would I have ever been able to have, you know, come up with these ideas? No, probably wouldn't have done.
You wouldn't have done. No. And also, like I said, it's been quite a new thing for me because of my previous two schools, Egypt and Vietnam, the weather just didn't lend itself to being outside. It was 35 degrees plus. And sadly, in my reception unit in Egypt, there was no outdoor provision. It's virtually impossible to really do a lot of outdoor learning. But Taiwan has the four seasons, so it's really, really great. There's loads of opportunities to use the outdoors. So we're enjoying it.
Fabulous, fabulous. Yeah. So do you also have children yourself out there then?
Yes, I have one little girl. So she's six, but she's still very much in a reception mindset. She still loves play.
And that it's fabulous that you're giving your child this adventure as well. It's so exciting. Mm. I feel so jealous. And I really like that you've just said that about that your six-year-old is still into play. It's a constant battle with my children who, you know, they go to schools and everybody's on technology and just trying to encourage. I've got six, she's seven now. Encouraging her to play is just so important. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but she's almost the opposite. I think she struggles with school because it's very, very academic and it's not play-based anymore in year two. Yeah. You know, like that's another thing that's a real shame. And I was already talking to my husband, who also teaches at the school, whether they'd be interested in hearing some of my ideas maybe for further up the school, because I do feel with outdoor learning, it kind of gives them a bit of play back.
Yeah.
It's way more active. It's more enjoyable.
Sort of like, you know, integrating this. I mean, do you know what I find really hard sometimes is being a teacher and being a mum, and the two kind of merge together all of the time. And sometimes I can't look outside for either position. And it's like, I'm so passionate about play. And sometimes I know too much. And sometimes, you know, it's quite a burden on your shoulders, isn't it? Knowing that how important we know what play, how important play is, and the fact that we want to give our children this balanced lifestyle. And the same with the academic school. And my children really do struggle with that. They really do. They're used to being hands-on, exploring and basically being independent learners, finding the learning themselves. And when they are sat down in a class, I mean, for Sienna now in year two, that's basically the formal way now, is fully in. Some schools still have this continuous provision up to year two, but many don't. So it's a struggle for them, really. And I really hope that the UK starts, and it's like what you said as well about the outdoor learning, there's no place for formality out there. You can't do it. As much as you want to, you can't. I mean, I find teachers, when I go training, they're trying to make a structure of it, and they just can't. And it really needs them to just
go with the flow of it. Yeah, totally, I agree.
Right, Jess, so tell us a little bit more about outdoor learning, what it means to you, and how you're using outdoor learning to help the children in your class.
Well, I think outdoor learning is just fantastic because there's just such a big space you can utilise. And the kids are just full of motivation when they come out because they know it's going to be something exciting and different. I love how we can use the natural resources like the leaves and stones and things like that. The kids find that quite a novelty. For example, today we did phonics and we just used leaves they were writing some sounds, and then we mixed them up and they had to create words. And they were just so engaged. They're all like leaning in to look at it. And I think, because they actually made it themselves as well, they were particularly excited. We were writing words on leaves as well, so they wanted to take their words home to their mum and dad to show them. I think there's just a real spark when you do outdoor learning. I think that's what I'm really finding. But also as a teacher, even more, I feel it's like another level up for me, as in I'm really motivated. I'm really excited to see where it will lead. Like you were saying earlier, it's not something you can really plan. You can have a couple of ideas, but then it can just go a whole different way. And I just love that. Or the kids will do something and you'll think, let's move with that. Let's do it how they're doing it.
And I think that's when your superpower comes in, because then your teacher instinct starts to take over and you start to teach and you start to get off that plan, look to the children you've got, look to the needs and work with them. And I think that those moments are the most powerful teacher moments you can give a child, really, in terms of their learning. Do you agree, Jess?
Yes. And like your stick man planning. We kind of had that in place anyway. We were looking at Stickman as a story and I thought it was an obvious thing to go and get the sticks and compare the sizes. But then you have all the other language that comes out of it, where they, you know, they're slightly adjusting their stick to be different width. They also want different widths because it's the dad and they think he's going to be wider as well. So you start bringing in so much more language, and especially for our kids that are really heavily EAL, We really, really want them to use a lot of language. So I feel that's the other bonus. Like, it's not just maths we're covering when we're out there or understanding the world. They'll be speaking and listening. There might be some art involved. It just crosses over so many subjects when you teach outside.
Loads of science as well, isn't there? You know, the children actually understanding what these, you know, rather than using plastic items, they're actually using things that make up our world, and they're starting to get a relationship with that.
Yeah. And I think they're getting ideas of what to do when they play outside, because I don't know about how it is in the UK. It's like we kind of have to introduce all games. They don't naturally know these games. They're not playing them outside of school. But then if we start using them, how to play with sticks, how to play with the leaves, you know, how to get the stones together or pieces of wood. And I see them starting to look at those things in a different way and really enjoy them.
And it's a worldwide issue, Jess, really, with the children and consumption and having too many made items given to them. And what we're doing is taking their imagination away from them when we do that. You know, actually trying to get children. And a lot of our nurseries now, the Muddy Puddle teacher-trained nurseries, are gradually, they have to do it very gradually, but stripping away some of their outdoor toys so that the children start to use what's around them. And when they do, the teachers come back to me and they're like, this is amazing. We've just literally played all day with a stick. How awesome is this? And it's you know that that's what's meant to, it just feels right, doesn't it?
It does. And where we are, it's a little bit tricky because we've got like the aunties cleaning up all the leaves and throwing them in the bin. So we're kind of chasing the bin bag saying, no, we want them for the mud kitchen. And they can't quite understand what we're doing. So that's always a little bit of a challenge, because like I was saying to you, like our actual outdoor provision is all AstroTurf. We had an exciting plan to develop it and make a wilder garden and extend the outdoor provision a bit, but it may not be happening, which is a bit disappointing. But our actual playground does have trees and it does have some grass. It has an awful lot of wood chip, which is kind of annoying as well, because you can't do much with those.
No.
it's an okay provision area. And I think it's got a lot of potential. And I'm just learning it, to be honest. I'm just trying, like maths is a very obvious area. But I'm trying to think of other things. I mean, like one of the things you advised as well was just to go out and lie on the floor and see what spring feels like.
Yeah.
And see what winter feels like. And I think the kids don't ever really think about that.
No.
Like the wind blowing in their hair. And that was also a really nice thing to do. And also just to go collect an object. And then I also got them with the microscopes, just looking up close and then looking at something with their friend up close, which again is understanding the world, just comparing the similarities and differences.
How do you feel about how children connect when they're outside? Because it's always something that I've found that when I take my class outside, I tend to bond better with them, but they also connect with each other better. And they don't necessarily always stick with the friends that they would normally stick with if it was sort of playtime outside. They seem to like really connect and integrate so much better when they're outside. And I think it's that space, you know, not having those four walls that feel quite trapped, really.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a lot more to see when they're out there as well. So, they really want to be out there all together. I would recommend initially what I started off doing was having small groups outside till my confidence went up with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I did find, because usually I have a group of six and then you've got one hanging at the back doing a somersault or whatever. but I found the more we've done that, the more they're sort of encroaching in and trying to get as close as possible to see what we're doing. Which is really, really nice. But
that's
a really good point, Jess,
because I think before COVID, I used to go out and train and consult the schools. And, you know, I think one of their main issues is that, are they all listening to me? Because in a classroom setting, you can ensure that. But when you're outside, they worry about it. And my advice would always be, like what you're saying, get your confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, if there is that child that's just on the outside, not looking in, they will eventually. You know, it's all about positivity and bringing them in. But I really like how you've mentioned about taking small groups out to gain confidence. Yeah. I do think that's a lovely idea, is to take your small groups out, because in 1 year, you will build some of the skills. In 2 year, you'll get more of the skills. In 3 years, you might be there. And I always say after 4 years of really doing good outdoor learning outside is when you'll get your most confidence. And it's because of your changing seasons, isn't it? You know, every time your seasons are changing and you're dealing with different resources. So, you know, stick in there. It's not easy.
Well, and I think it's quite infectious too, because our TAs are all doing it now. Yeah. It's almost a battle for what outside space shall we use. And that's really, really nice. And then I think it's infectious across the team too. So now when I say, okay, what out of our plans can we do next week we're going to take outside? They're all like, well, we could do that, we could do this. Where I think before it was a bit like, oh, she's saying it again. And I think just the confidence goes the more you go out, definitely. And I honestly feel they're more interested when they're outside than inside, because even children you might consider have some behavior issues, I don't feel it's the same when we're outside. I feel they just want to be there more. And you can just put things in context, like preposition or whatever. You could say, you know, what's in front of the tree? And then you have the whole class look at the tree. Whereas if you've just got a teddy bear on a box and you're doing preposition that way.
We've all done that teddy bear in the box, haven't we?
You think about it, like if you're looking in a Where's Wally book, it's far more interesting than, you know, than a basic.
I remember teaching an autumn lesson from a PowerPoint presentation when it was autumn outside. And I just think, what was I doing? There was autumn outside and I could have taken them and given them that experience.
I know. But I think, I try to think now, if it can't be on, if it doesn't need to be on the interactive whiteboard, then I could do it outside. So I try to think like that a lot more now. I'll only use even reading outside, which I think is something we just don't do anymore. And I remember from my childhood, I was always out on the field with a story. And so they were the most beautiful moments, I think, as a kid, because it was just magical to sit there with your teacher and listen to two or three stories. So now if I can do it outside and it's not on the whiteboard, then we will go outside. And like I said, I think the more you do it, the more kids get used to that environment. Sometimes even the first time, if you've got the whole class, like when I go to like the theatre to do a show or whatever, I tell them just to run around for 2 or 3 minutes, go and explore. And then I'm going to ring you in and then we'll do something, I think is another way around that. And then they feel they've had their little bit of control, you know, their bit of experience, and then they come back.
Yeah, exactly. And they need to be active. You know, I started doing my phonics first thing in the morning outside, and I found a massive difference with my class because of that, because I've given them that burst of energy in the morning. I found that they concentrated a little bit more as we came to doing some things inside, but just getting the balance right. And, you know, for some classes that you'll have really active classes that you'll need to do more outdoor learning because of that. And some you might not so much, you know, it's all about balance, isn't it? And looking for your opportunities to get outside, because especially for your special needs in EAL, like you've said, they'll really benefit from this type of teaching. So, yeah.
I agree, definitely. And we also have, very unfortunately, we have a different timetable due to COVID, and the kids have a very early lunch. So it means our phonics is done at 12, no, sorry, at 12:30. So you can imagine how that is. So this was another reason I really looked towards outdoor learning, because they're just flopping on the carpet. You know, I'm going through the cards because it's read, write, ink. And so we do that as quick as we can, and then we just go and do something active. And they go around a couple of groups, but it's all very, very active, and perhaps just one writing activity, because they physically can't cope. And they shouldn't have to be quite honest.
No, and I always think, you know, if the children are coming back from school absolutely exhausted, that's been a good day. More and more I see the kids bouncing out of school, you know, really active, because this is their time to now be active when they're leaving school, and it shouldn't be like that. It should be, you know, an active education. They should be absolutely shattered. Thank you, Jess, it's been really interesting. Is there anything else you want to add? Or
We were talking a little bit about before about differences, and for people who are in environments, and I think it's even inner city UK, where you might have a really, really small outdoor provision and you might not have many natural resources. What I do is just I go around just before the end of play and I go with a big basket and I just start collecting things, because I know there's not as many available. So we'll go collect the sticks and the leaves and the stones, and I often find I get a little tribe following behind me, and I'm like, no, that leaf's not big enough, and no, we need a flatter stone. So they all come in and help, and then they're like, why are you doing this? And I'm getting quite a few kids ask this now, and I'm like, well, it's our phonics, it's our maths. So they're excited even before they've gone in. So I would say collect up your resources before, so you're not scrabbling for them when you're trying to teach them something, so they've got something to choose out of the box. But obviously don't always do that, because the excitement is going to find their own. And just take advantage of any little areas you have. You probably will have a very, very small patch of grass or a a little space under a tree. And it doesn't need to be extensive. You know, it doesn't need to be a forest school. Like, you can start with what you've got and just go from there, really. The heat is obviously a problem. We struggle more in the summer for that. So we have to look for shady spots, really. But the rain and the damp, we don't, that doesn't bother us either. We get out in that. And I feel sometimes that's also another experience that the children don't really have, because parents monicoddle a fair bit now.
We do.
And yeah. And no, they can't go out and spit in, and we don't follow that. Like, they have to go out and enjoy the rain and feel things, because they feel differently when they're outside too. So
yeah, it's a massive sensory experience for the children to be able to feel the rain against their skin and to describe that to you. I just find, I know there's a big issue in the UK about speech and language, and I find that, you know, the outdoors really does encourage those quiet and shy children to actually talk. You know, when they have got rain on their skin, they're telling us about the rain on their skin, and they can't wait to tell you about that, you know, and it's bringing children out of their shell as well and getting them to talk more and use rich language. But yeah, that's you know, been a really great chatting to you, Jess. You know, it's really interesting how you've come on and your journey, and, you know, I think you sharing those experiences, you don't realize how much you inspire people when you talk about your own experiences and encouraging people to, you know, understand that, you know, sometimes you're not confident at something straight away, but give it a go. And I think something I've picked up from this conversation was you saying it's infectious, isn't it? You know, everybody wants to do it, because you start to realize the benefit it has on the children, how much easier it is to teach them. But what we all get the benefit of our job is seeing children progress. And when you see children progress that you've been working really hard with and not getting much movement, and then all of a sudden you start doing outdoor learning and it starts to happen, and it's happening for all of them, it's such a great feeling, isn't it?
Well, another point as well, you were saying, you know, about the resources, like, teachers don't have time to make so many resources. They have so many other things to do. But like you say, outdoor, they're all available. And like today, my children made their own sound resources. They made their phonic resources with me. So they're even practicing the formation there. That was actually the thing I was looking for. And then it just escalated to loads of other things, sentences and all sorts. So it's like you're actually creating less work for yourself if you do go outside. I mean,
yeah, and the children fantastic. Should be able to make the resources. And also at the same time, you are using natural materials. So, you know, that otherwise, you know, is just going to go into earth and come back round again. So, you know, you're not using paper and plastics while you're doing that. So you really showing the children, you know, how to look after the environment at the same time. It's a win-win situation, isn't it?
It is, really. And also, just another thing I picked up quite recently is when you do maths and you're always using the counters or the unifix, and they just relate quantities to those sorts of things. I never thought about this before at all. Yeah. And then I realized, you know, if you do leaves, you do sticks, you do trees, petals, that they start to see it, and then they start to subitize as well more, because they see it in different contexts. And that's something I never
about. When they're not with you, they will follow that learning on, because they will see those items again at home, where, you know, we have these resources at school that the children don't have at home. So the play and their research and their thinking can't continue. It stops when they leave the class, when they leave the classroom and they go home. But if you start to use all these materials, you'll start to see them using it at home. I mean, I see it with my own children. You know, Florence, the other day, she was, we did some squares and shapes and things like that with her. And then she was joining the squares and the shapes together. And it was like, I'd not asked for that. You know, she was doing that in her own place. She wanted to know more about it. Because those materials were there at home, she could do it. You know, it's fabulous. And I'm just so proud of you, Jess. You're doing so well with it. And
I've got one more nugget, I think. I keep thinking about it. ICT was another thing that was great to bring outside, because what we did was basically take the iPads out and we went for a first shape hunt and looking at things. Then we took the iPads out, and what was really interesting, so I'd prepped them how to use the camera and how to share it, which they did really, really well. But they spotted so many more shapes that I never noticed, like circles up on the ceiling. And you know, it was amazing. So what we did then is we brought the iPads back to the class, uploaded the pictures, because Google Photos can do that instantly, and then had them up to the front discussing what they'd seen. And then we sort of played it around for another photo. Okay, what can you spot? And the kids could spot lots of other things. And then there was the subitizing again as well. But that brought on a lot of speaking and listening, which, of course, is very, very important for our children. So it was fantastic to bring ICT in as well, because I often struggle a little bit with the younger years to I don't really like to use ICT personally. Yeah. And I think if it's used as a tool, it's great, but I'm not one for wanting them to play games or do that much online learning.
I think because they do so much of that at home, we're all about giving them those experiences that they don't normally get. And technology is going to be a massive thing in their life, but it's something that we're doing a lot more of. Before I was a teacher, I actually was very technical. I worked in TV for about 2 years. I was very technical, and I did a multimedia degree. So it's always in the back of my mind. It's really crazy that I have these two worlds where I'm really outdoorsy and natural, but I've got a really technical background.
It's
something that we're doing a lot more of as well, because I'm really passionate about teaching children skills that possibly are going to be really useful in their jobs. So like coding, things like this can actually be done outside, you know, in different contexts to give them sort of like purposeful, meaningful learning. Well, yeah, live action films and animations can be all done outside. You've got settings and storylines and acting and, you know, all things like that. So it's really interesting to see your thinking going that way, Jess. You've literally gone down a very similar path that I got to, and now sort of looking at other curriculum areas and seeing how they can benefit from going outside is really interesting. So thank you ever so much. Is there anything else, Jess?
I think that's all. I think we've covered everything, really. But yeah, I'm really grateful that I found your training. I think in my 40s, I've changed a bit in my teaching, as in I really want to research what I do now, and I want to know why I'm doing it. Yeah. That's really important to me. Yeah. So I felt your training, it gave you sort of the theory and the background, and then it gave you really practical activities so you could go and try it straight away. And I liked how you said you've got to try it. You've got to go and do an activity. I want to see evidence that you've done that. And I think that's really important. So I found it just really, really interesting. I just feel like, I'm getting back in. COVID has a few silver linings, and I feel one of them for me is that I'm getting back into teaching and pedagogy and really, really refining my skills, which is really exciting. It's really nice to feel so passionate about it all, you know, and early years is quite a new area for me too, and it's an area I absolutely love and I never want to move out of.
All early years teachers say that.
Outdoor learning is fantastic, and you know, perhaps if I had been in primary and there was more, you know, it's more open for outdoor learning, then I could be way more motivated to be in primary. It's I totally agree with you, like the four walls, sitting at tables, very formal education, it's not for most kids, I would argue.
I just don't think it's not changed very much in the years, you know, from we've not really changed our methods. We talk about a lot of different methods, but we don't really change them. And like I said, it's taken for me to leave my job that I absolutely loved because I felt so passionate about this. And it's slowly. I mean, I am obviously pushing for all year groups to do more outdoor learning. And we do have full through schools doing muddy puddle teacher training, and they're getting so many benefits from it. I had a head teacher that phoned me up the other week. She went, "In my school, the children cannot sit at desks. They cannot. They've all had really bad upbringings. You know, some of them have had awful things happen in their lives. I'm not sitting them at desks. We're going to be doing muddy puddle right through to year six and a lot of it, a lot of the time." And I was like, wow, you know, we're getting head teachers coming through now and recognizing it. And I just think, you know, we need some brave people to come forward and just give this a go and try it and get the benefits from it. So, Jess, I just want to say thank you ever so much for coming on. Thank you for chatting with us. If people want to find out, because I know that you're very active on Twitter, I get lots of tips and ideas from yourself. So if you could share that with everybody so they can follow you, because I'm just really, really passionate about creating this group of like-minded people, because I think it really helps us all. I think it helps us to understand and believe in what we are doing and what we are saying is really the way forward. So please share with everybody. Where they can find you.
So I'm Jess Gosling 2 on Twitter. I have a Facebook group as well if you're interested in becoming an international teacher, called New 2 International Schools Teachers, quite a long title, which is a really, really supportive group. There's veteran teachers on there as well. So if you just want to ask any question, we will answer you. And it's basically based around being kind. So there's not any trolling allowed on that board. It's quite a safe space. So if you'd like to contact me that way, that would be fantastic.
Another thing what I love about the Muddy Puddle teachers is, you know, I have this Facebook group of 50,000 people and I literally have no issues ever. Everybody's so positive, so supportive. And if there is, you know, the thing is with social media, if there's something that you don't agree with, I always believe in, you know, showing, not telling. That's the way forward. Yeah. I know Greg Bottrell says exactly the same thing as I do. Show, don't tell. So anyway, Jess, thank you ever so much for your time. Take care. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.